Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This is Austin Carr from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're talking Cavs basketball with Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
Cavaliers in the playoffs, on a roll. Spin on him, big fella. Throw the hammer down. Welcome back to the Kenny and JT. All of that happened yesterday at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. AC, J. Mike, Tim Alcorn on the radio calling the action as the Cavaliers win their 48th game of the season, which officially puts them into the playoffs for the first time in 5 years and for the first time since 1998 when a guy named LeBron James hasn't been on the roster. To analyze this, break it all down, and look forward to the upcoming playoffs, let's go to the hotline right now and bring in the outstanding senior NBA writer at HoopsWire.com. You can follow him on Twitter at AmicoHoops. He is Sam Amico. Sam, thanks for making time for us on short notice today. Wanted to get your thoughts on something that hasn't happened in half a decade. Cavaliers make the playoffs. Were you expecting this to happen this year when the season started? I was. What about you?
For sure. Thought they would make the playoffs. Guys, I did not realize how excited I would be over all this Wesley Person talk and the memories that of that team in 1998 that made the playoffs. No, I think once they made the Donovan Mitchell trade, even if they hadn't made the Mitchell trade based on last season, I would think that the next natural step would have been, yeah, you get into the playoffs 8-7 seed. But once they made the Mitchell trade, yeah, it was like playoffs or bust. Anything less than the playoffs would have been a disappointment. So I think they're right on track, you know, when you're talking about the big picture of where they thought they would be this season.
Sam, talk a little bit more about that Donovan Mitchell deal. They bring him in. There's no guarantees that he's either going to get along with his new team or be the standout that he's become. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, I didn't know when they first made the trade how he would work with Darius Garland. I kind of got the sense that he was a pretty good guy. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously a very, very, very good talent. But, you know, the one thing I liked about Mitchell before he ever even came to the Cavs was the Jazz were clearly gutting their roster, hired a new coach, first-year coach. And Mitchell said, you know, look, I'm here. I'm not demanding a trade. I'm going to play with whatever team they put around me, and I have no complaints, which – you know, I mean, a lot of stars would have said, I want out of here, and you wouldn't be able to blame them. But I was impressed with the fact that he said that. So when they traded for him, when the Cavs traded for him, I thought they're getting a pretty good guy on top of a you know, really good talent. But the fact that he's having a career year and that he's kind of fit seamlessly with everybody else, I think that's a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting that, and I don't even know if the Cavs were expecting that so quickly after they made the deal, but it's all worked out that way.
It tells a lot about an individual as well, because when you see trades being made, we'll go back to football. Odell Beckham Jr. gets traded to the Browns. Well, obviously, he didn't like being here while he was here, in my opinion anyway, by looking at things, and we know the outcome. You look at Donovan Mitchell, it seems like he legitimately loves being a Cavalier. Am I right?
It sure seems that way. I think this is a guy who really is mature, appreciates the fact that he's playing pro basketball, loves playing the games. You know, he plays with a lot of energy, a lot of joy. There's never any – you don't see this guy taking plays off, nights off, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he'd probably be just about happy wherever he is, but I think that he's especially happy that – yeah, you know, look at the promise and the talent around me in terms of guys like Garland and Mobley and Allen, you know, and some of the others. So I do get the sense that he really enjoys playing in Cleveland. And, you know, guys, look, we we don't know what the future holds, but it does look like this is a pretty rosy future once they get into the playoffs and get some playoff experience and, you know, take their natural next steps, and he would be a big part of that.
Sam Amico, our guest, senior NBA writer, HoopsWire.com, talking Cavaliers making the playoffs with their win last night over Coach Luke and the Houston Rockets. So it's always good to see Coach Luke back in town. He started it all with illegally getting LeBron James in for a workout, and the Cavaliers win their first NBA championship thanks to LeBron. But first time, Sam, since 98, like we said, since they made the playoffs without LeBron, and they haven't won a playoff series without LeBron since 1993, Sam Amico. So my question to you is, the Cavaliers, I think, are one win away from securing the fourth playoff spot, which would be home court advantage in the first round. Because of that, whether it's the Knicks, the Heat, or the Nets, do you expect the Cavaliers to win that first round series?
I would say yes against the Knicks and the Nets. I would be a little bit more hesitant against the Heat. Obviously, you know, the Heat got throttled the other night at home by the Nets. They've had a very up and down season, but you're talking about Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Eric Spoelstra. You know, those guys, obviously Kevin Love would be there too, but those three guys you don't necessarily want to face in a seven-game series because they have a lot of experience. They have a lot of guts. I mean, Jimmy Butler is probably the gutsiest guy in the NBA, and he's been there before. And it's just that would be a Heat matchup, if I'm a Cavs fan, would make me a little bit nervous. I wouldn't worry too much about the Knicks or the Nets, though you never know with the Knicks. They've been up and down, too. Brunson, if he's healthy, he's a tough player. Randall's a tough player. Theoretically, though, I think that the Cavs would be able to get past any of those teams and get into the second round. They just probably have a tougher time against Miami. And Miami might, you know, I think that series would really be a toss-up. I would give the Cavs the edge versus the Knicks and the Nets, a very clear edge versus the Nets, but I don't think they're going to end up playing them in the first round.
I agree, too, and the matchups are the things that you look at, and you look at the Cavaliers at fourth place in the East, and I'm wondering how long it takes to become the beast in the East. We see the Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics, and the 76ers. I'm surprised the 76ers are as good as they are this year, although Joel Embiid, in my opinion, might as well be the MVP of the league because the way he seems to own us in the paint makes that a tough matchup for the Cavaliers. But what about those teams like Miami, Atlanta, Toronto maybe in a rebuild, maybe since they'd won it and lost a couple of players? Chicago Bulls, another team that you look at and kind of a head scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Cavs really deserve a lot of credit. Kobe Altman deserves a lot of credit for kind of building this thing and keeping it together over the last 2 years. You know, you look at Atlanta, which to me gives the Cavs hope because the Hawks, you know, 2 years ago weren't an experienced playoff team, just like the Cavs aren't, yet the Hawks got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think of the Eastern Conference, well, both conferences, clearly the NBA has the parity it always wanted. So, you know, there's not one real dominant team. Obviously, Milwaukee has a lot of star power, a lot of depth, starting with Antetokounmpo. You're right. You know, Embiid with the Sixers, he's been the only matchup nightmare for our two big guys, for the Cavs' two big guys in Mobley and Allen. And, you know, Boston obviously coming off a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. But other than that, you know, I think the Cavs are right there. They're right behind those teams in terms of, you know, being able to take the next step and perhaps get past one of them. Yeah, teams like, you know, Toronto and Chicago and Atlanta, it makes you kind of wonder, you know, what's gone wrong there because they all had some promise a year or two ago and they just look like they're spinning the wheels, which is good news for the Cavs.
Sam, as you look at this team, let's break down their strengths and their weaknesses as they head into the final six games of the regular season and then for the first time in 5 years to the postseason. Let's start with the Cavaliers' strengths. Give me two or three strengths when you look at this team.
Well, I'd say the strengths are you have, number one, a guy who in Mitchell occasionally will give you the best player on the court, right? And so often at times we will see teams with the best player on the floor win the game. You know, we also see, and Kenny, you pointed this out to me probably in the middle of the season, Mitchell has raised his game in the playoffs. You compare his regular season stats to his playoff stats, and his playoff stats better. So you have that star power. Then you have a guy like Garland, who obviously is a very solid number two, and probably a very solid number two, and Allen, a outstanding defensive player. And I think that the Cavs' biggest strength going in the playoff, Kenny, is probably, and JT, is probably the fact that they've played playoff-style defense most of the year when you look at their defensive stats. So that will bode well for the playoffs. Weaknesses, obviously youth. You talk about Allen's been there once. Caris LeVert's been there once. Not even with the Cavs. Those two combined are 1-8 in playoff games. J.B. Bickerstaff's been there once as an interim coach. And Garland and Mobley and Isaac Okoro and a few others have never even been.
Sam, as I look at this team, one of my concerns is this. Down the stretch in games, we see the stanky leg, the ball stops, and yes, it's nice to have that best player on the floor, and yes, Donovan can go get some, but my concern against the better teams is that they're going to trap Mitchell and force somebody else to beat you. They're going to pressure Darius Garland, who's very loose with the basketball, and the physicality of what they have not experienced, with the exception really of Donovan Mitchell, I think could hurt the Cavaliers, especially in that second round. How concerned are you about that?
Those are all legitimate concerns, and they're legitimate concerns in the first round. You know, they let you scratch, claw, grab, be a lot more physical in the playoffs. The biggest concern, I would think, really, even though he's been playing fantastic, is Evan Mobley, because they're going to let guys bump him out of his spot in the playoffs. They don't do that now. They're going to let the veteran players get away with that a little bit more. So there's that. And like you said, Kenny, yeah, if you're an opponent, okay, Donovan Mitchell's going to get his 25 or whatever, but we're going to make him work really hard at that, and we're going to force guys like Garland and Mobley, who haven't been here before, to beat us. And those are going to be things that the Cavs are going to have to watch out for. Not to mention, you know, if you're in that situation and you're the Cavs, everybody else is stepping up their game. Players like Antetokounmpo and Embiid and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown with the Celtics. Those guys are going to step it up offensively. So you've been a good defensive team all year. Can you take your defense to another level? Those are concerns with teams we have not seen in a seven-game series before.
You win 48 games on the regular season right now. Who knows how many they're going to win before it's all over and done with. Do you see a team like Cavaliers changing anything if what you guys are talking about and they pressure your backcourt a little bit more? In other words, does J.B. Bickerstaff tinker with this offense at all? Do they get the bigs involved enough?
Yeah, I think that that's something that they will try to do over time. I don't know if you go into the playoff series and say, we want to get the bigs more involved, but certainly having an impactful Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, you know, would free things up for Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland. So I think that they're going to try to stay the course with what they're doing and what works. But yeah, JT, from game to game in the playoffs, you're seeing something that doesn't work. I mean, you lose game one of the playoffs, guess what? You're going to start messing with stuff, especially if you have home court advantage. So I would assume that they understand, J.B. Bickerstaff understands that, yes, the game slows down in the playoffs a little bit more more of a grind. So they will definitely have to adjust to that style a little bit more.
All right, before we let you go, Sam Amico, keys to the Cavaliers winning a first-round playoff series. Give me three keys that we will watch for. And if they do at least two out of these three, there's a good chance they'll advance in the playoffs.
Well, number one is you can't have those, you know, first quarter, fourth quarter lulls that young teams can have, and that they've had a few times already this season. So avoid that. Number two, continue to defend like you have been for the majority of the regular season, and you're going to be in a very good spot. And number three, and this is big for first, second round, whatever, you're going to have to get some consistency from at least one role player, probably two, and I'm talking like Chetty, Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro. You know, I don't know how much Dean Wade's going to play. He's not looked good lately, but somebody, at least one or two of those non-big four, so to speak, are going to have to step up, because your stars usually do what they're going to do in the playoffs. It's the role players so oftentimes who make a difference, and that's where you're going to need, if you're the Cavs, I think that's a very underrated thing that needs to happen. Somebody else needs to step up consistently, whether it's a LeVert or whoever, for them to advance.
Here's hoping what we're seeing from Caris LeVert now is the same that we'll see in the postseason. Like you said, it makes a huge difference. And Jetty, hot Jetty, cold Jetty, they got to have him to win, according to AC. We'll see if Jetty can shoot it well in the postseason. And we'll be talking all about it throughout the postseason. Hopefully a deep run for the Cavaliers with one of the best in the business, senior NBA writer from HoopsWire.com, Sam Amico. Sam, thanks for the time. Keep up the fantastic work. All right, bud?
All right, gentlemen, thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. There he is, Sam Amico. Again, follow him on Twitter for the everyday information on the Cavs and the NBA at Amico Hoops.